Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
This is Ag Bioscience. Welcome. Thanks for joining. I'm Mitch Fraser, CEO of Agrinovis Indiana. This is the podcast where we explore all things Ag Bioscience, the people, the products, and innovations across food, animal health, plant science, and ag tech. Bioplastics, a type of plastics made from a variety of sources, including vegetables and starches, is a product category set to grow to more than 6 million tons globally by 2027. The growth could reduce demand for petroleum-based plastics and may create a new market for ag bioscience. Here to share how are Brian Southern and Katie Southern, co-founders of AgroRenew. Brian and Katie, it is good to see you both. Welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Good morning, Mitch. Thanks for having us on.
Yes, thank you.
It is good to see you. This growing global market for bioplastics, one that you both know well. Before we dig into it and the role of Ag Bioscience, we have to learn more about you, how you came to create AgroRenew. Brian, Katie, whoever wants to jump in, share more about your journey to creating AgroRenew.
All right. AgroRenew's origin story begins where all good ideas start, actually at the kitchen table. One day, Brian came home from Vincent's and we were just discussing our day, having conversations over probably BLTs and corn, because that's my favorite summertime meal. And we were discussing this new venture with watermelons and his work with Knox County. And we started just brainstorming ideas, going through what we call a SWOT analysis when it comes to innovation. You talk about your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So with watermelons, we know that there are a lot of just watermelon products, consumer products on the market today. And one of those opportunities in that SWOT analysis is the watermelon rinds, that it's an unused byproduct that we are trying to think of. Me being a food scientist and working with consumer products, I was thinking more of the food aspect of how to reuse, how to innovate watermelon rinds. And unfortunately, that's a very niche market. I don't believe that there will be hundreds of people, millions of people wanting pickled watermelons or kimchi watermelon rinds, that we wanted to think bigger. So we started to talk about the chemical composition of watermelons. What is it made out of? What can be used from it? And through just research, Brian started to dig into the plastics industry. And there have been similarities in chemical structures of bioplastics and just the produce and the location of Knox County. Then everything started to snowball, and here we are today.
Yeah, I think, you know, from my side, you know, this came about as I've been working in Vincennes and in Knox County for, you know, several months. And, you know, innovation happens when people start to consider what's possible and instead of thinking just about what could, you know, what can be done in the past. So what's possible? And it's identifying what are the problems or challenges or hurdles that can exist in a particular community or technology or industry. And in my work of being a business advisor and helping out small businesses and at the Pantheon in Vincennes, which is an innovation hub, you know, I met with several farmers talking about, hey, this is a challenge that we have. You know, we have, you know, literally 100 million pounds of watermelon every year that goes to waste. And, you know, we've been trying to find ways of utilizing that. And so they were talking about the whole food path, which Katie was talking about. And my background is, you know, I'm a process engineer. My specialty is in scaling things in a food processing environment. But I also have a background in some chemical processing and stuff like that. So I started to think about some of the challenges that exist in the plastics industry, and would it be possible even, you know, can we innovate something new and create a new bioplastic? And that's where I was talking to Katie and I said, you know, does the watermelon even have the types of properties we would need? And so we started to do that experimentation and we identified that, yes, there are a couple of chemical properties within a watermelon that are necessary to make a biodegradable plastic, you know, polymer resin. So we started down that path, started doing the experimentation, going through the validation stage and came up with the formulation that's utilizes watermelon along with some other elements that give us that resin polymer. And so it's creating an environment like at the Pantheon where you have coworkers and you have, you know, members coming in and people talking about things. And that's what generated this ideation of, hey, this could be possible. You know, this really could actually become something big. And that's how we started down this path.
It's a great story. I love the view of we have this asset on the field, right?
Yeah.
All of these watermelons. And for those that don't know, Knox County, Indiana, Vincennes, home to, I think it's the second largest county. Tell me if I'm wrong, Brian. You probably know the second largest county in the country in terms of watermelon production. Is that right?
And first in Indiana, actually.
That's right.
You know, Knox County is like first in lots of agricultural categories for the state of Indiana, but second overall. And but they like to tell you that, you know, the largest is a county in Texas, and the counties in Texas are about the same size as the state of Indiana. So
well, it is amazing that they, you know, this organization, AgriRenew, the creation of AgriRenew really came from that realization that we have all of this excess material that could be a new ingredient to transforming the way that we consume plastic. I mean, with the way that we produce plastic.
Yeah.
If you could maybe share a little bit about how the technology works, what is or what will be AgriRenew Plastic?
Yeah, so AgriRenew Plastic is a 100% biodegradable resin polymer. And the process is, you know, one part of it is we take the watermelons, we pulverize them, run them through hammer mill, extract the water, get them down to a dry material that we then pulverize or grind and mill into a micron dust. That gives us two chemical properties that are necessary to make a resin polymer. In the formulation that we've created, there's roughly about 11 properties needed. And so we'll be blending the watermelon process, the processed watermelon with other bio sources like chia seed or coffee grinds. We've even been working with some companies on waste stream product from soybean processing. So taking shells and some of that stuff, you know, so the goal is really to, not only are we figuring out how to utilize, you know, a waste stream that exists with the watermelons, but coupling that and blending it with some other waste streams and really helping the whole, you know, circular economy when it comes to sustainability, you know, and getting to a point where we can actually, you know, create a process that looks at other bio sources down the road and how do we blend them into a formulation that works. But it's a, you know, a lot of it is a proprietary process, so we're probably not going to dig into too many more details, but it's, you know, it's a lot about reducing the solid down into a dust particle that allows us to blend it with other chemical properties from bio sources to get the right combination that creates the structure necessary to give the plastic its rigidity or flexibility and everything necessary to have a resin polymer that's usable in the plastics industry.
We'll be back right after this quick break. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Being your own boss is a different kind of job. You have to work harder, smarter, and you can't afford to let your health slow you down. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau is there with more affordable plans for members who need to stay on top of their health so they can stay on top of their business, whether it's a farm or any other kind of company, concern, or enterprise. To learn more about medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans sponsored by Indiana Farm Bureau, visit infbhealthplans.com.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're joined by Brian and Katie Southern, founders of AgriRenew. You both are coming off a giant announcement. AgriNew making big headlines with its first operation in Southern Indiana's Knox County. $83 million investment, nearly 250 new jobs committed. How important was locating this new operation at the epicenter of watermelon production in Indiana?
When we talk about the entirety of the supply chain, our starting material is right here in Knox County. And then when you look at the end product being plastic, we are thinking about every single function within that supply chain. So when Knox County, being one of the largest produce producers in the county, the state, the world, when transportation is so important when it comes to just fueling our starting material for the facility. So if it's right down the road within an hour or so, it just makes sense from a logistics standpoint. You reduce time, you reduce cost, time is money, that it just makes sense. And then when we talk about the end product with our polymer resin, we have companies in Indiana that do films, they do plastic, they are the end users that will then buy our resin polymer and then transform that into a bioplastic. So it's a full circle of keeping everything Indiana-based, and also growing Indiana business, creating jobs for Indiana, but we are also looking wider. So there's potentials of adding rail spurs and inviting other agriculture growers and partners to then expand our base.
Brian, you've mentioned you've spent time with farmers talking about this challenge of watermelons, challenge of what traditionally has been a waste product, turning it into a new value-added product. What's the reaction been? When you talk with local watermelon farmers, when you talk with produce operations, what are you hearing?
Yeah, so one thing is I've learned a lot more about watermelons than I ever thought I needed to know. But now that I know it, it's very intriguing about how the whole process works. But in working with all the larger farmers, we've kind of worked towards creating a farmers co-op that's going to be part of this organization, like an AgriNew growers co-op. And the reaction I'm getting is this overwhelmingly supportive. They harvest by hand traditionally. And so as they go through and pick out the watermelons, they're leaving a lot of watermelons just in the field. And so they have to deal with that waste. And so helping them to give them an alternate use for that product rather than just letting it decompose and or they pick them later and put them all in a big pile somewhere. And then they have to deal with decomposition and the smell and, doesn't make their neighbors happy. So all these elements that, we're giving them an alternate use for a waste stream product. So not only are we helping them get stuff out of their field, out of their waste stream, taking care of, if they get a return, if they ship a truckload and it doesn't pass inspection and that comes back to them, what are they doing with that? Well, they can't resell it. So it goes into a dump and it decomposes and, it's creating, greenhouse gas. So we're addressing another issue there. So just that whole circular thing. But the farmers are just thrilled with the opportunity to have a secondary use for their product that they can't sell on the food chain side. And that's one of the elements that we've been very conscious of, is helping the farmers to provide them an alternate source without impacting the actual food supply chain. So we're not going to pay them more for watermelons than they can sell them to Kroger or Walmart or, Target or any of those guys. We're providing them an alternate use for their waste stream or their watermelons that don't pass their quality inspections. We're going to take everything they can give us. And, just in Knox County alone, they're estimating that's about 100 million pounds of food waste a year.
Wow.
And so giving them an option to use that somewhere else. And then working with the farmers to, we're working on developing some new cover crops that can be planted and grown through the winter that in the spring, the farmers harvest, and we use those as one of our other chemical elements or chemical properties that we need in making bioplastics. So we're trying to move towards, you know, a 365-day-a-year usage of the land, but also doing the things necessary for soil conservation.
Sure.
Replacing nutrients in the soil with designed cover crops, basically, to help address that. And so that's just like beyond their expectations is, you know, hey, you're helping us with one of our biggest problems, but
right
now you're also bringing another solution to us that can help us with, you know, the use of our land. So
it is incredible the amount of innovation that you have advanced, you, Katie, you, Brian, in this really short period of time, or what seems like a short period of time since our first conversations.
Yeah.
What's next? When can we expect to see AgriRenew Plastic in store shelves, in products that we interact with?
All right. So we will be expecting our groundbreaking in March of 2024. And then we will begin with phase one of production in 2025. That means 75,000 tons of resin polymer a year. And then we're just going to, as our volumes grow and as we begin to partner with more farmers and we get more starting material, then we've already built in capacity, future capacity in the plant to then grow the produce, the product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we expect to ramp up from 75 as our first phase to make sure everything's processing the way we want. Then we'll quickly go to 150,000, and then the plant is laid out for 300,000 tons a year of resin polymer. And, you know, while we're probably targeting that first quarter of 2025 to have AgriRenew branded plastics on the market, we've already made a deal with a local company to do grocery bags and in a test market. Okay. With our formulation, and those will actually be coming out in the summer of 2024.
Excellent.
So we're test marketing some of the film product using our resin recipe and formulation as we finish building up the plant. But we wanted to get some product on the market. We have a local grocery store chain that is wanting to be first to the market with that. And you know, they're looking at it from obviously a sustainability message, and yeah, making their contribution. You know, grocery bags is probably one of the largest uses of plastics today that basically gets used once and thrown away. And so being able to address and have a biodegradable grocery bag is going to be a significant impact to the industry and the market.
Well, I look forward to seeing those on the market. Look forward to cheering you on from the sidelines. Brian Southern, Katie Southern, co-founders of AgriRenew, thank you so much for investing in Indiana. And thank you so much for spending time with us today on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you for having us, Mitch. I enjoy your show.
And thank you for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. You can get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And while there, you can access our entire library and give us a review. Don't forget, you can always learn more online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire AgriNovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
This podcast is a product of AgriNovus Indiana in collaboration with Inside Indiana Business. Hosted by Mitch Frazier. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography by Kaylee Kerr. To get all Ag Bioscience news all the time, visit agrinovusindiana.com.